Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. We're coming out of the weekend. We had a lot of big breaking news, but we've got a very special guest today, Senator Shannon Grove, the Republican leader of the California Senate, joining us. And I want to reserve most of our time for the podcast today to talk to her because there's so much going on in California. There's a recall of Gavin Newsom. There is a China scandal involving several California politicians. There is a hypocrisy issue going on with the governor. He was caught going to a large public gathering after cracking down and eliminating public gatherings for everyday constituents in California. So we want to really focus on that. Is California in distress? Is Gavin Newsom really in danger of being recalled? We want to get to the bottom of all of those very important issues. So we're going to turn most of our attention today to our interview in just a few minutes with Senator Shannon Grove, the Minority Leader, Republican Leader of the California Senate. But before we do, I just want to point out a couple of stories that I have broken over the last 72 hours on Just the News. We think they're important. We think they have depth and meaning. And so one of them is we've been going through those text messages, the new text messages with Pete Strzok and his FBI colleagues in the Russia case. And throughout that process, we continue to find really big new discrepancies, things that challenge even the current, after all the concessions that the FBI has made, there are new challenges to the current story the FBI has held the line on involving Russia. I just want to point out one I did. It was yesterday. It broke yesterday. It's still on the site, easy to read. But there's a text message from Peter Strzok to his team in late September 2016, so about a month before the Carter Page FISA warrant is first provided to the FISA court on October 21st, 2016. And in that text message, Pete Strzok seems to acknowledge that Christopher Steele or his dossier was the source of a Yahoo News article that kind of had the basics of the FBI investigation in it. And that the assessment of Peter Strzok himself was, hey, it's obvious now that Steele is doing more than trying to inform. He's trying to influence the election. Influence, meaning he had a motive beyond honest informant work. That text message is significant for many, many different reasons. One, and perhaps most importantly, the FBI represented in the first FISA warrant that the Yahoo News article, it does not appear to the FBI, they claimed, came from Christopher Steele, that he participated directly in it. And as a result, it is independent corroboration of what Christopher Steele was saying. In fact, it was circular reporting. It was directly based on the dossier and Christopher Steele's own contact with the reporter. And why is that significant? It is the strongest evidence to date that the FBI lied to the court. Why? Pete Strzok, the guy running the investigation, seems to acknowledge in the text message, hey, this is Christopher Steele, and it looks like he's trying to influence things. That acknowledgement is hard to reconcile with the FBI story, and it much further accentuates the theory that the Inspector General Michael Horowitz had about that article, that the FBI should never, never have portrayed that article, that Yahoo News article by Michael Isikoff in September, I think it was September 21st or 23rd of 2016, should never have been used as independent corroboration when, in fact, it was nothing more than circular reporting from Steele, and that the FBI had an obligation to tell the court in advance of the first FISA that Christopher Steele was talking to the media. When you go through some of the other messages, you also realize the FBI knew early on Steele had broken protocol and gone and leaked to the State Department about his work for the FBI as well. They knew he was a leaker. He was breaking protocol. He was rushing to get this story out. Pete Strzok's own words are influence. He's trying to influence. And yet they went to the court a month later and said they had no derogatory information, no reason to distrust Christopher Steele or his behavior as an informant, confidential human source in this. What an extraordinary mistruth they submitted to the court. And these text messages, which were kept from us for almost 4 years now, clearly unequivocally show the FBI was in the know. They knew in advance of Steele's problems, his leaking, that the Yahoo News article was not independent corroboration but circular reporting, and they proceeded ahead against their training, against the rules, against all of the things that would have put a red flag in front of any other extraordinary member of the FBI if they were going to follow the rules. The Crossfire Hurricane Team, James Comey, Andy McKay, Bill Priestap, they allowed this charade to go on, and we're now seeing that they knew in their own text messages of the problems they were not going to tell the court. Now, take what I just told you and add it to what we broke last Thursday or Friday, showing that they knew that Papadopoulos, before they went to the court, before they portrayed that as a potential threatness, they knew Papadopoulos, George Carter Page, I'm going to say Papadopoulos, they knew that Carter Page had been run up against one of their informants, Stefan Halper, and that Carter Page denied meeting with their senior Russian official known as Igor Davechkin. Why is that important? They continued to present in the FISA warrant in October, a month later, or weeks later, that in fact they had strong reason to believe that Carter Page had met with this Davechkin guy along with another guy named Igor Session. It turns out the FBI had strong reason to believe those meetings did not occur, and they did not provide that alternate evidence, that exculpatory evidence, that evidence that called into doubt the claims the FBI were making to the court. What an omission that may be criminal or certainly wrongdoing. These text messages that were just released to Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley, probably some of the most important ever to be released in the history of the Russia collusion case. So keep an eye on that. Check them all out. We're going to continue reporting out. There are other text messages I'm reporting on. But what an important body of evidence. And yes, it does call into question even where the FBI portrays itself today in the Russia collusion case. It appears to be much worse than we all first thought. All right, we're going to go to the commercial break. When we come back, Shannon Grove, a state senator and the Republican leader of the California Senate, going to join us for the whole show. Gavin Newsom, hypocrisy, COVID, a wealth tax. Oh my God, wait to hear this new plan that Californians have to tax people who spend more than 60 days a year in California and retroactively tax their wealth. Why are they doing that? Well, probably because wealthy guys like Elon Musk, Oracle, others are leaving the state because of its policies. We're going to get to all of that with Shannon Grove right after these commercial breaks. Hey folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest. She is the leader of the Republicans in the California Senate. We've had her on the show before. Senator Shannon Grove, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's such an honor to have you on. And I don't even know where to begin. There are so many amazing things going on in California. People are scratching their heads. But I think we got to start with the pandemic and the tightening down of even more restrictions in California. Can you give us the latest of what it's like to be a California resident under Gavin Newsom's many, many restrictions?
Oh, it's hypocrisy at its best. And we're, what, 10 months into the governor's two-week shutdown to flatten the curve?
Yes.
And he keeps moving the goalpost. He's moved it from county and regional areas, and he's also moved it to include racial diversity, and he's also included now it's ICU beds, and he just keeps moving the goalpost. And it's almost like he plays the prices right. He says, door number one.
Yes.
And I'm being serious. And then door number one is restaurants and gyms. And then they get closed down. He constantly goes on television and says it's all about data. But it's since come out that there is zero data available that shows that restaurants or gyms are the cause of the COVID-19
transmission.
Yeah. The transmission. There's zero data. So it does appear that he does, like I said, play the prices right. Door number one, and it's restaurants and gyms that have to be closed down.
It's remarkable. And I think the flashpoint for a lot of Californians, just reading again, I'm not there, but and you are, so I'd like to ask you this, but when he was caught flouting his own rules, when he was going to his own party and having the sort of gatherings he was barring the other constituents of California from engaging in, it seems to me that that created a tipping point in California. People began to just, you know, roll their eyes and say, if it's good enough for him, it's going to be good enough for me. I'm tired of this. How has that played out in California in terms of Gavin Newsom being caught red-handed like Nancy Pelosi was previously? And it seems like every couple of days, the Delaware governor was just caught going to a wine bar last week after barring gatherings. How is this playing out in California?
So I think, like I said, the hypocrisy from electeds is tremendously overwhelming, especially in California. If Governor Gavin Newsom thought for one moment, just think about this. I realize that people look at the hypocrisy piece, but if he really thought for one moment that what he says every day on a newscast about the dangers of COVID-19, if he really thought that what his numbers and what his administration was saying, he would have never gone to that restaurant, had a gathering of 24 people from outside of his household,
right,
and he would have never put his wife and children in danger. If he thought for a moment that schools were the infectious locations and that's why he's keeping them shut down, he wouldn't have his kids in expensive private schools. So it's hypocrisy, because the way that he plays the California citizens is that if you can afford to put your child in expensive private schools, those schools are somewhat safe, according to the governor, because that's where his kids go. If you can afford to pay $350 for an advertiser and have a $15,000 bar bill, those restaurants are safe, according to the governor. And that's based on his actions.
It really is remarkable. It's a do as I say, not as I do, a phenomenon that makes Americans so frustrated at their political leaders. Now, in the middle of this, Republicans, churches have won some really major religious liberty battles in California, and in New York was another big one against Governor Cuomo. How important have those victories been, and what has this whole moment with COVID done to reinvigorate the movement for religious freedom and liberty?
So I think it's been significant. You know, we serve a Romans 8:28 God, and so I really do believe that. And I think it's significant with the court cases that have sided with the faith community. We had a significant number of churches that opened on Pentecost Sunday, which was May 31st, throughout the state of California. And not one COVID case has been traced back to any of these churches. And I mean, they are open full bore. If you go up to the Sacramento area or down to the Ventura area, you know, they're shoulder to shoulder worshiping just like they normally do, with no restrictions, right, under the First Amendment. And the counties have come against them. They fined these churches. But what they found is that these court cases are siding with the faith community. You look at the Supreme Court ruling. You look at the San Diego ruling. We recently had a ruling here in Kern County where the judge issued a preliminary injunction prohibiting Newsom, from engaging in restrictions for the Catholic Church, which would, obviously the Catholic priest that filed the lawsuit.
Right.
You have Che On down in the Pasadena area with HIM or Harvest Rock Church that has filed a lawsuit, and the Supreme Court ruled in their favor. So the governor doesn't have a standing. Where the governor is coming down hard is like our restaurants, because he doesn't have a jurisdictional authority over churches. He can't walk in and pull their liquor license or pull their or have OSHA fine them. But he can do that to our local businesses. And so we have to figure out a way around that.
Yeah, no, that's the tricky part. I think what's been most interesting in all of the court rulings, particularly all the way up to the Supreme Court, is the sentiment that just because we have a COVID pandemic doesn't mean that you get to set aside the Constitution. And if it's okay to have 50 people inside a Walmart with masks on, then it has to be okay to have 50 people in a church with masks on with these same, you know, restrictions. And I think remarkably that sentiment, despite how many times now it has been uttered by the Supreme Court and by other courts, doesn't seem to be sinking in, certainly to California leaders or to other Democratic states. It seems as though, you know, Republican states haven't had many of these confrontations. Why is it that such a clear set of guidance from the courts continues to get ignored by officials in your own home state?
You know, I tell you that the Supreme Court and the California Supreme Court has issued guidance on, issued rulings on several things in the past since I've been a legislature, and the Democrats are so powerful here in the state, they just continue to ignore even the courts.
Wow.
They ignore
Amazing.
Voters, right? Voters automatically overturned, and they wanted the three strikes and the death penalty, and the governor just issued an order that says, I'm not going to do it. They overturned, dialysis by voter, for proposition in 2018,
right.
Then the legislature just passes it anyways, and then they have to fight it again on a ballot measure. So they just continue to ignore the people of the state of California and the court rulings. So I've been witnessing that for the last 10 years.
When you look out now, is there a perfect storm beginning to brew? You're even seeing some famous liberal businessmen flee the state. So you've got this massive exodus of wealth, exodus of jobs, exodus of corporate tax base leaving the state. What is there a perfect storm now for California politicians to get realigned, because the basis on which they govern, revenues and tax base and constituency, is finally saying enough is enough? Do you think we're reaching enough is enough point that it actually will make a difference for a leader like Gavin Newsom?
I do. I really do. I really do believe that Californians are waking up. When you look at the highest income tax earners and our state revenue that we pay for services for,
right.
And the government used to govern is predominantly income tax. And when you think about it, like Elon Musk leaving the state, one legislator just said Elon Musk, right?
Right.
And put it out there publicly and in the newspaper, a Democrat legislator. But think about how many people in the state of California, like you or me, if you lived here, how many people does it take up to make up Elon Musk, his tax revenue that he pays? It would take a whole lot of average everyday California.
Sure would.
And they're fleeing the state. And so I think the perfect storm is hitting. There is a lot of individuals that I've spoken to, a lot of Democrats and independents that are very frustrated with the achievement gap that's going on,
right.
With our school system and our kids not being able to go to school. Democrats and independents own businesses that are being shut down with no data and no reason behind it other
wow.
than the governor's say so. So I think people are waking up and realizing that the hypocrisy with the governor and his administration, not just him, but his administration, the hypocrisy with these Democrat city and mayors, the homeless population, 53% of the unsheltered population, homeless population, live in California.
Wow.
The rulings that are coming on, I don't know if you've done any research on the new district attorney down in Los Angeles.
I have, absolutely.
Yeah, so when you look at what he's doing, they have far been overreaching, and people in the state of California, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, are tired of your businesses being broken into. They're tired of the homeless population and not being addressed. They're tired of the shutdowns. They are tired of the way that the pandemic has been handled, and they are definitely tired of hypocrisy.
Yeah, you can sense it. I have a lot of good friends in California, and the sentiments of where they were, let's say, in April and where they are today is much more fervent in their frustration and their, I'll use the word despair, too. There's a lot of despair among Californians that they're on the wrong path. Now, a perfect storm, one of the bellwethers of whether we're reaching that perfect storm is, will there be an actual recall of Governor Newsom? There's a petition underway. It's halfway there. They've been given a few more months. Do you think the Gavin Newsom recall effort is the first bellwether of rejection of what may be going on in this state?
I do, and I really do believe that this recall measure has a chance. And the reason why I say that is because they're over halfway there. They have over 850,000 signatures that have already been turned in.
Right.
But they have another 270,000 signatures that are being qualified right now, which will put them over the 1 million mark. And that should be announced pretty soon. You have thousands of volunteers all over the state. Each county has a volunteer base that's gathering signatures and holding events. You have the entire congressional Republican delegation that has signed on to it. You have Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich. He did a fundraiser. You have Ann Densmore doing a lot of our fundraising. And we have donor matches. We have fundraising going on to get the message out, and churches are even engaging in the process to have people be able to gather signatures when they go to church. And businesses, I've seen more people engaged in this recall, and it almost reminds me of the Gray Davis days. And when you think about the Gray Davis days, he was dealing with, you know, lines at the gas station and power outages.
Right.
Well, this governor is dealing with a COVID situation that he's completely mismanaged. He's dealing with forest fires, and he has no solution to it because he's allowed the Sierra Club to just take over and not allow forest management. And so you have these, and then you have our energy grid that's constantly shut down, and people in areas in California are going without power for 3, 4, 5 days. And this is the 21st century, right? So
that's unbelievable to think about that. Rolling blackouts. And one of the largest states in America, the largest state in America. Crazy.
And that's what was facing Gray Davis the last time we had a recall. And so we're hopeful that with all the catastrophic things going on in California under this administration, that this recall will be successful.
It's pretty remarkable that it even got started. And I remember when it got started, people were laughing, saying, it's just a protest thing and not going anywhere. And now they're at the halfway point, and it sounds like they're going to cross the million vote mark. That's a pretty significant movement, and has to. No matter what you think inside of Gavin Newsom's circle, you got to start paying attention to this. This is a serious threat to his political future. Now, we've talked about the rolling blackouts. We've talked about the sanctuary cities. We've talked about the crime and defunding the police, all the things that California seems to be a leader on. None of them things you want to be proud of. The thing I read this weekend about the effort to create a wealth tax is left me numb. The idea that if you spend 60 days or more in the state of California, you're going to be subject to this wealth tax, and it can follow you for many years. Talk about what the Democrats are up there and how Republicans plan to fight it.
Okay, so that was that the Wall Street Journal article.
Yes.
And they failed to say that bill did fail. But, you know, what's really scary is that bill is coming back this year.
Right.
And it's already in discussion form, and they're already talking about it. The biggest insignificant tax issue that we have regarding the legislation that was passed last year that takes effect this year is they suspended the net operating loss for 3 years. But this wealth tax that they're putting forth that failed last year, they will bring it back this year. And yes, that is coming out of California's Democrat legislative side of the aisle. And they are going to try to say that if you generate any revenue in the state of California, like Elon Musk or other businesses that Oracle that are fleeing this state, that they can track you down in whatever other state you go to, and they can tax you California state taxes for 10 years after you leave the state, which is a violation of the Constitution.
Yeah,
but
that's
again,
a big
they don't
thing.
Care.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing to me that just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we put our right hand in the air and we swore to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And one of the first pieces of legislation that's put across the desk is something that violates the Constitution.
It is just remarkable. And it shows you the desperate straits that the state is in. It's sort of in a downward spiral that everything they do creates an even worse decision or an even worse impact. So you drive smart businessmen out of state, innovators like Elon Musk and Oracle and others, and then to make up for the loss of revenues, well, now you're going to create a wealth tax that's only going to create more animosity, more rebuke in the courts. There's no chance that the Supreme Court's going to let that tax as currently constructed there. What stops the cycle? I mean, California's sort of been, really can argue since the Reagan years, sort of in this slow, continuous, and now accelerating leftward trend. At what point does California and its constituency say, we tried it and we don't like it anymore?
So I hope that point's coming in 2022. We also have redistricting where we're going to be able to have redistricting, and we've got a great redistricting commission. We participated more this year than we did in previous years.
Wow.
And we did. I mean, we were really engaged. Last
That's
time,
important.
10 years
yeah.
ago when this happened, we weren't engaged in it. The party wasn't engaged in it, but now they are. And so we have some candidates on there that will fight for, you know, what's right. Instead of, you know, drawing cities and counties that are divided, we'll hopefully keep cities and counties whole. I mean, there's no reason why you have to represent the south side of Ming Avenue, but the north side of Ming Avenue is represented by somebody else. It's
that doesn't absurd. Make any sense, right? yeah. Just common sense wise. Sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Common sense wise. It's the same problems in the area. So we have redistricting coming up, and then we have all of this nonsense that's been going on for this last year. We do believe that there is an issue with COVID-19, and it is an infectious disease. It is an infectious, it is very infectious. But the bottom line is that the decisions that are making, that are being made by this Gavin Newsom, are not benefiting Californians, either those that are sick or those that are operating businesses and trying to stay afloat. So we do hope it's going to be a change in 2022. And if you look at Kevin McCarthy, look what he did. So, you know, 2 years ago, he lost a tremendous amount of seats. Some of his dearest friends were lost in California.
Right.
And
won
this
back.
Cycle, he came back and he won them back. Yeah. And so he's just proven that it can be done. So we're going to follow his lead and his footstep and try to do that in the Senate and the Assembly.
Yeah, that's such an important point. Election integrity-wise, I just want to see, and you've been watching what's been playing out all across the country, and obviously there were concerns even back in the 2018 House races of some unusual behaviors, some unusual flips in vote counting. Do you think the country's ready for a reckoning on electoral influence, electoral reform? It seems as though this, no matter where the Trump v. Biden race ends, it seems like we're in a debate about how we're going to conduct elections going forward. Do you think that the American public's ready for that debate?
I really do believe the American public is ready for that debate. You know, if you look at simple things in life, people cheat at running red lights. People cheat at, you know, different things in life. They do. It's natural.
Yep.
They do. And to say that there's zero cheating on a $4 trillion economy, control the free world, is absurd. When you look at everything that's coming out, ballots being pulled out from underneath tables. If you look at when you watch all the media, you can't say all of it because not all of it's reporting it.
That's
but when
true.
You watch the media and you look at stuff that's going on and the facts that are coming out, and just, you know, based on the numbers, I was reading something this morning that said that, you know, based on the numbers, there's no way that President Trump and former Vice President Biden could get the total numbers to equal the number of votes that were out there. Somebody is not telling the truth.
Yeah.
And when you look at everything that's going on, I think the country is ready for this, because we are only the United States, the great United States of America, with free and fair elections. And free and fair elections did not happen in 2020.
Yeah, such a great point. And we're just beginning to scratch the bottom of the evidence. I mean, there's so much things that we're learning every day that we didn't know even, you know, November 10th, November 20th. And so just fascinating and something that we need to take seriously. These stories take a long burn. It took a long time to reverse the Russia collusion story, long time for people to realize Hunter Biden really was involved in corrupt relationships. And it may take some time for us to fully appreciate what went wrong in this election. But it seems as though Republicans like yourself are determined to stay the course until we get the truth out.
We really are determined to stay the course, and we have to applaud people like you, John, right? Not everybody's putting that out there. If it would have been Donald Trump Jr. that had earned millions of dollars in a non-qualified
position, oh my gosh, could you imagine? Bonta,
they would have blown up. I mean, that would have been, the media would have had, every media outlet would have focused on that, you know, consistently. There would have been hearings over and over in both houses. And so what's really frustrating is that the media isn't even covering this issue with Hunter Biden. And when you look at interviews with Vice President Joe Biden, he's not even asked any tough questions whatsoever.
No.
I mean, it's almost hostile to attack. It's hostility when the president gets on to do interviews, and the hostility reporters have against the president of the United States. But when they get on with Vice President Biden, it's all fun and games, and they laugh, and they're friends, and they don't ever ask him serious questions.
It's pretty remarkable. It's total
very,
surrender.
It is remarkable. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the great thing is the American people are so wise to it. They can see it, and while the media think they're getting away with it, the American people aren't letting them get away with it anymore. I think the frustration with my profession is off the chart. One last set of questions, because California has a big nexus to this, but it seems, as we learn from Hunter Biden, from Eric Swalwell, the alliance that the Democratic Party, particularly in California, but across the country, has had with China, big money, the CCP, the military institutions, is that going to become a predominant theme in the next couple of years, exposing that and then understanding what the 20, 30-year consequence has been by letting China off the hook?
I think it definitely needs to be a focus, and we need to focus on China specifically. Again, I'm in the State House, but you know, I follow Kevin and Devin and everything that they're doing,
right.
McCarthy and Nunes, and everything that they're doing. And China is really the threat to the United States. And when you look at the infiltration into our university systems, when you look at, you know, the business practices, when you look at, you know, what happened with Congressman Swalwell, which he's failing to respond,
right.
China is definitely the biggest threat that we have. And it needs to be addressed. And I have a governor in the state of California who considers California, he calls it out constantly, a nation state is what he calls us.
Right.
And he went outside the federal government as a nation state to make deals with China on masks and other things back in March and April when COVID first hit California. And so he already has relationships with China. His aunt is Nancy Pelosi. The roots of that family go all throughout California. And their political histories. And so I'm hoping that the focus does stay on China and that we address some of these things. One of the things in the pandemic that shocked a lot of people was that, you know, all of our, you know, a high majority of our prescriptions come from China.
Right.
Our PPE comes from China.
Supply lines.
Ventilators come from China. Supply lines. And so if China really wanted to be really evil, they could be to the United States of America or the world. And so I'm really glad that President Trump has started producing all of that equipment here and getting it done here so that we have access to good quality PPE and prescription drugs and things like that here in the United States.
Yeah, such a great point and such a strategic thing to have started in the middle of a pandemic. We all woke up to it and said, how did it get this way? But the best thing to do is fix it. And that's what's been underway the last several months. Well, Senator Grove, I can't thank you enough. You do so much, and you're such a great interview. We can go to so many places, and you have a lot of authority on so many things. So we want to thank you for the time today, and maybe get you back on early next year to see how that wealth tax and that recall is going in California.
Anytime, John. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you on. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for hearing us out and letting us do these in-depth interviews and learning from really smart people on the front lines. We heard about religious liberty today. We heard about COVID. We heard about a wealth tax. We heard about the recall. California is a state in crisis, and it is really that crisis, the failure of its policies, the frustrations of its peoples are coming into focus in a way that we haven't seen. Not even the traditional media can hide this any longer. California is about to face a reckoning if you take what Shannon Grove gave us today. I hope you had a chance to digest that, learn from it. We're going to be keeping an eye on California all through 2021 and 2022. It is a important battleground for testing the policies that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris might impose if they get in office on January 20th. It is a bellwether for the liberal progressive agenda that has taken over the National Democratic Party, which traditionally has always been more moderate than the California Democrats party. We've got a China scandal there, Eric Swalwell, Dianne Feinstein, lots of questions about who else was penetrated by the Chinese over the last 10 years. California is going to be a story that we're going to cover aggressively at Just the News, and the rest of the country is going to be looking for signs of what's ahead for all of us. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back tomorrow with another big guest and another big story here on John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. Have a safe and important night of family together with your friends and family tonight. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button, and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.